My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Back on the Fan, start the show way back at 10 a.m. as we hit you with the crown topic of the day, talking about the Giants. And for me, BT, the outside noise cannot be enough to infiltrate the Giants here to a point where their decision makers, you know, ownership, considers firing Brian Daboll. I'm not just talking about right now, because obviously that's not on the table now, nor should it even be a thought in week two. I'm talking about at the end of the year. If the Giants were to, and even if they lose a bunch of games, which a lot of people expect, I still think they're turning around, but if they were to fire Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, it would be a horrible mistake for this franchise that is so sorely needed stability. It has been lacking for years. Whether it's McAdoo, whether it's Shermer, Gettleman, Joe Judge, on and on and on. We've felt it here. We've lived it. We've watched it for the better part of a decade. These are the right guys. They believed in them. And look, we could believe in them, we could be wrong, but it's only year three, and already the talk is about potential change at the end of the year. It would be a colossal mistake if the New York Giants were to move on from Brian Daboll.
I can't say that. I also can't say that you're nuts, because there's evidence that Daboll's going to be a real asset here. But he's got to be careful, he's got to watch this, and the problem is now, no matter what we think and no matter what we say, there's noise. There's noise around the Giants not pertaining to football. All right, when you start getting hammered with questions about job security in week two, again, whether it's too early or unfair or a gotcha question, whatever, it's been asked. And now he's had exchanges, and now the record is what it is. Now, again, I know it's only two games this year, but obviously last year was off the off the map. Yep. A little bit. They didn't, and really, since they started 6-1, they've lost a lot of football games. Yeah, I got it. You know, he pieced it together competitively without Daniel Jones a year ago, which to me is I don't want to minimize that. Like, that's important to me.
Especially the way it was going.
Yes, yes. And I said that at the time. Cover off a good year in 2022 to show the ability to stabilize things like that. That is something that Robert Sala has not shown the ability to do. Like, the stabilization part of being a head coach, when things are going, you know, wacky in every direction, can you kind of snuff it out? And Sala doesn't, hasn't yet. And Brian Daboll has shown that he's got an inclination and an ability to do that. But I can list a lot of positives for Brian, but I also have to, you know, tap into the reality of there's a lot of losses, and now there's a negative energy, right, wrong, or indifferent, or too early around him. be careful. Belichick's lurking. I don't think the Giants win a ton of games. I think they're 0-3 after this week. And when you're 0-3, and who knows what happens after that, I think all bets are off.
Yeah, and that's the other part of it that we discussed. In case you missed anything, check it out on the Free Odyssey app, the Belichick angle. Like, I think that's part of the conversation because Belichick's been looming, and it's been a rumor for years. Oh, Belichick to the Giants. That expedites the part of getting Dable out of here. It would be a terrible mistake. New England has gotten better this year. In just 2 weeks, you could see the difference in competitiveness. And I love Bill Belichick. There's not a knock on him. I just believe that there's a reason why he didn't get a job this go-around. And he, to me, would not be the answer with where he's at in his life and career and where the Giants are at. Now, I'm not saying if I were Dallas, I wouldn't hire Bill Belichick. That's a different story with a ready-to-win-now team where the Giants aren't there yet. They're trying to rebuild this thing. They hired Shannon Dable for a reason. We've already seen enough positive signs in both the first 2 years. It's only 2 weeks in this year. Stay the course. Stay disciplined. Block out the outside noise. Stay the course. And you have to have some kind of continuity and stability in this franchise for once, and maybe these guys can dig them out.
Okay, and again, and we'll get back to these calls. I do like the notion of stability. The only problem is, you know, when you look at who's going to make this call, and that's Mara, how many calls has he had right recently?
Well, I mean, but it doesn't mean you just got to keep changing.
I definitely grant you that. What I'm saying is, if his conviction is, I think we've got the right guys, it doesn't mean that he's right. Like, the evidence the last decade is that he's been wrong a lot more than he's been right.
Right, well, okay, then I can't speak for him, because you're right. I'll speak for me. I believe he's got the right guys.
There you go.
In Brian Dable.
There you go.
I'm not so sure. Shane, I still think, is unproven, because I don't think it's fair to judge any general manager 2 games into year 3. Like, that's just not right. To put your full stamp.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this year should be a little bit more, certainly, than the first 2 years. But I don't think you could fully judge a general manager yet, especially when they haven't had the quarterback. Like, we could decide, you know, make a decision on him choosing to stick with Daniel Jones. Sure. But I firmly know and believe Dable is the right coach and can be a great head coach and turn this thing around and have sustained success. I'm still on. I don't know about Joe Shane yet, but I need to give them time. Can't just be ready to kick them out here in year 3. And that's what it would be if you're talking about going to get Bill Belichick.
The other thing that has to be said here is that, like, the Giants were such a mess. This isn't like new coach in Seattle, where there's a winning culture. You know, Geno's not amazing, but he's good. You got a couple of good receivers. You've had, you know, proud defense, a fan base that isn't apathetic or beaten down. Like, taking a job in Seattle is a little different than taking a job here with the Giants, who have been a punching bag for the greater part of a decade, really. So, and here I'm kind of agreeing with those to an extent who think that, you know, you need more time. Like, the Giants were so bad, and their roster was so busted and so broken. It was never going to be a quick turnaround, even though it actually was in 2022. But to have sustained success, you know, there's no magic wands. There's no shortcuts. As long as you, again, I need to reassert this, I am less worried about his coaching acumen or how he present, like, his schematics or the relationship with his players. I do fear for Dable, because I'm rooting for him, and I still believe in him. I fear that he's going to sabotage himself.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Rick is in Westchester. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I completely disagree with you guys. I mean, Shane and Dable, you're talking about stability. We're going on 0-2 for the second year in a row.
Mm-hmm.
There's no direction, no identity. The team doesn't do anything well. Shane hasn't drafted well. He whiffed on those Thibodeau and Evan Neal picks.
You can't say whiffed on Thibodeau yet. I think it's been disappointing, obviously. We're the first ones to say that, as a matter of fact. But I don't think it's a whiff like it was Evan Neal. Evan Neal was a whiff.
I mean, you can't whiff on a top 7 pick like that. We're in year 3 of his regime. I mean, I don't see a win before November.
Yeah, but hold on, Rick, no offense, but what you see or don't see doesn't really matter. Well, let's go based off of reality. So they're
going to... This reality. This is year 3. I mean, There are teams that have... I mean, look at the Texans. They did a turnaround. They walked, and they competed next year because they got shut. This is insanity. We're on year 3.
Right, who's the quarterback?
I don't see a win on the schedule until November.
Who's the quarterback
Daniel
you pick?
Daniel Jones is taking up... I don't know. I'm not the GM right now. But, I mean, he paid Daniel Jones. He's taken up almost a quarter of the cap. I mean, this is just insanity.
So what do you want to do?
With that quarterback,
what's the solution?
not pay Daniel Jones, not whiff on drafts. I mean,
No. I'm talking about now. I'm talking about now. Would you fire Shane and Dable?
I would wait till the end of the year and see what happens, but it's not looking great for them. And then on top of Dable, I mean, how do you not have a backup kicker? You're dressing 52 guys.
Yeah.
This happened to them last year in the Jets game. You have a kicker on the practice squad. How do you just not dress them? That's negligence.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody wants to work for this guy. He got this.
Well, he has taken it.
He should.
And thank you for the call, Rick.
Yeah, no, that's a bad miss.
But again, you think that was Dable making that decision? You think
he's
it was the
coach, right?
No, you don't think the doc does a coach do the medical stuff all
I
of
mean,
a sudden?
No, but the coach constructs the roster.
Understood, based off of the medical advice of what he's getting on his team. Like, I love how all of a sudden now, this is like the first time in the history of talking about the NFL where the head coach is getting blamed for medical decisions. So Brian Dable's the guy we're going to pick on for making a medical decision? Well, since when does he do that? Like, he doesn't have enough to worry. Now, he's the head coach, and he did take accountability, which is something that is, to me, commendable. But do we think that Brian Dable all of a sudden was in there massaging the grind of Graham Gano, saying, you know what, I think he's good to go? A guy who was kicking 50-yard field goals or whatever it was in warm-ups before the game, he's going to take the blame for saying that this guy can't go? He got hurt. Doctors make this assessment. They figured he, and Gano himself, they figured he was good to go. Dable took him at their word. He gets hurt in a, not freak play, but chasing down a kick. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't say that Dable should be fired because of
I'm exaggerating a little bit.
Yeah,
that's true. We have, and I think that's ridiculous. That's hyperbolic. Like, people go nuts with that. Come on. I'm presenting more of a macro view for the Jets. I'm still not saying that he should be fired. I'm definitely not saying that. I just say, you know, season's going to play out, see where it goes. Listen, it's not his fault that Gano got hurt, but it's absolutely his fault for not having a plan in place in case he did get hurt. It's not like he popped up on the injury report on Monday and he watched him kick Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and walk through and blah. He was hurt Saturday.
Right.
So what you do is you take the advice of the doctors, you let people do their jobs.
Right.
And I'm sure the Giants said, yeah, you know, he's the Giants doctors, he's good. You know, listen, it's not great, but do we deem him able to suit up and play? We do. Now, I think at that point, I'm not saying he's not astute, but maybe a more dialed in coach says, all right, I know that they're telling me that he's healthy, but not fully healthy, and I don't think that they said he was fully healthy, that he's healthy, but you know what? Just in case.
Right.
Like, it's called having a contingency plan.
All right, well, maybe he thought that the punter was going to be able to kick, and then he saw him on the first extra point. He's like, Gillen can't kick, and my best option is to just go for it.
Has he never seen Gillen do that in practice?
Well, he did it before. He
40-yarder last year.
Okay. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
And then he abandons it? Hey, so he hit a 40-yarder last year. He shanks one now. Well, how about you give him a third chance, settle the difference? Well, maybe, you made one, you missed one, see what you do with the third one.
That's in-game stuff, and I could get on him for that. He just chose to go in a different direction. He felt his best chance was to go for it and forego field goal attempts because of what he had with the kicking situation. But that's different than criticizing him for a player who got hurt.
I know it's different, Sal, but I think it's actually worse because those are two separate things, and I think he messed up both of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not saying he messed up. I think that the decisions that he made in-game were fine. I mean, the defense couldn't get off the field, which hurt. And, you know, unfortunately, neighbors, I'm not picking on neighbors, but he dropped the ball fourth down. He catches that. I mean, Giants win a game. So,
And
nobody's talking about Graham Gano. I mean, it wouldn't be an issue whatsoever. And the other thing to the caller's point before, if you're going to say you don't believe in Shane and Dable, that's fine. Like, I am of the opinion of I believe in Brian Dable. I need to see more of Joe Shane, but I am a firm believer in Brian Dable, and if the Giants made a change at the end of the year, they'd be making a big mistake. That is my opinion, and I have reason to back that up. If you're of the opinion that you don't believe in Shane and Dable and you want to change, then I need to hear what your solution is.
Belichick. I gave it to you already.
And I already shot that down. That, to me, is just idiotic.
No, you shot it down. Yeah. No, so it's idiotic. I'm going to tell everybody what Sal said, why he's saying it's why you think it's idiotic.
Right.
So Sal said to me that he doesn't think that Belichick would be motivated enough to do well.
No, I didn't say that.
That's what you said.
No, Kohler said that.
No, but then you agreed with the sentiment that sometimes, like, the human mind, become complacent.
No, but
he'd be the exact opposite.
No, but that's not why I wouldn't hire him.
Why wouldn't you hire him?
Because he's not a guy that's going to develop a franchise here. He's a guy that's not a program builder, especially at his age.
Dude, he built the Patriots.
The Giants are, how many years ago? How did he rebuild the Patriots?
And by the way, he built the Browns before he got fired. Yeah. The Browns were on the edge. They won 11 games.
How did he do it?
The penultimate year before he got whacked, he built them, and Teddy built the Patriots. Two for two.
Then what did it end with the Patriots? Why couldn't he rebuild?
Why did it end for Tom Landry? Yeah.
Oh, again, you're bringing up Landry.
But,
I don't know.
No, bringing up all-time great coaches. Well, you make it seem like Belichick is the only one who's been an all-timer who is just, you know, right. somehow, you know, he's not, petered out at the end.
I love Bill
Everybody
Belichick.
Everybody peters out at the end. Don Shula peters. Okay, what was the score of the Jaguars game with Marino? They lose 62-7. That Don Shula coached that
you
game.
You think
great coaches get old and it very rarely ends gracefully.
Why didn't he get hired again then?
Like somebody like Gibbs or somebody
Like Belichick had a chance to get hired. He lost out to Raheem Morris.
You don't think the Carolina Panthers could have hired? Like, you don't think he could have had that job? He didn't want to go there.
And why would he want to go to the Giants? If he wants to win, he's not going to go to the Giants.
He loves.
But that's a different that's a different argument.
But it's not because it's part of the reason why I know he would be ready for the job.
He wanted the Atlanta Falcon job and they chose Raheem Morris over him. Why do you think that that's a
Do you think that that's a good decision?
I do.
I know you won last night.
I think it's a good decision.
So if we're not going to react.
And I love Belichick more than anybody. I think it's a good decision, a smart decision, because you should not be handing your franchise over to Bill Belichick where he's at his particular age, trying to take a franchise into the... It's different for Dallas, where they just need... They have all the pieces in place. They're trying to get over the top. That's different taking a chance, as opposed to the Giants, who are building from scratch. Belichick just proved he couldn't do that the last few years without Tom Brady and with Mac Jones.
But
matter of fact, his team looks better now without him.
With
Gerard Mayo for 2 weeks.
Let's see how they look Thursday. Small sample. Let's see how they look at the end of the year. My guess is it won't be very favorable. But the bottom line is this. He took Tom Brady out. They waited five rounds to draft him. We can't give him all the credit. You know, they ignored Tom Brady for 2 days, basically. And then Bledsoe gets hurt. You know, so what we talk about is inability to, like, you know, change a culture or win with a young quarterback. He did that exactly with Tom Brady. He won 10 games with Matt Cassel.
Right.
When Tom Brady's knee blew up when he got hit by, I think it was Kimo Von Ola. Maybe I had that wrong. But week one, his knee exploded. So I just think that there are certain people, and he's not young, and he doesn't project youthfully like a Patino who's similar age. I get it. But Bill Belichick, to me,
it's going to be 73 next year.
I understand that. Would be the perfect hire for the Giants if they move on. If they move on from Dable.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
All right, BT, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Having some fun here talking Giants, whether it's Belichick, whether it's Dable. I mean, to me, it's crazy to have this conversation. By the way, this is not a new conversation with Belichick. This has been going on for years. For me, I think it's a major mistake if the Giants even entertain going in that direction. Just stick to the plan here with Shane and Dable. Let them prove themselves here. Now, they got to turn it around and quickly because it's all about winning. But I also think it would be a mistake to hire Bill Belichick. Mark is calling from Middletown, New Jersey. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Sal, how you doing, guys?
What's up,
hey,
Mark?
Was at the game last night, the Met game, saw Doc Gooden there. But as Met fans, every game is an important game. We haven't had meaningful games in 8 years, and the building was barely half full. Where are all these, I'm a diehard Met fan. Where are they?
Yeah, I mean, it's a Monday, and thank you for the call. Monday night. You know, school back in town. It's the Nationals. Even me, BT, like just my feel, excitement level.
Yep.
Philly series, even on the road, felt different. Like to a point where I was like, man, if I didn't have a life, I would want to go to these games. But last night, yeah, obviously watch it, but I'm not. I didn't feel the need to be there for the Nationals when you know you get. Now, Friday night, I might go Friday night.
I'm trying to get you to go. I might join you, actually. I might join you on Friday.
Awesome.
I might be able to join you on Friday.
I already told my wife, so. I got the go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I don't have to even ask. I'm good.
Yeah,
I mean, I just have to make sure now, I'm not missing anything with the sports with the kids. But I think I'm good.
Let me just reiterate.
What
I told my wife. Didn't ask. I just want to make sure we're clear.
Nuts,
I already told my wife. I don't want you to think like, honey, please.
We know how you are, Sal. Even with your reads, you can't believe the wife.
So do you get on the Met fan for that last night?
Am I going to get on the Met? I'm not going to get on the Met fan because, you know, the economy and it is school and some other things. But the Met attendance has been disappointing for a while.
Hmm.
I want to just lay a couple of things out, and I didn't even know the caller was going to go there, but I have thought about this. I have done some research here, and the Mets this year, and then I have a question for you at the end of this. I'll try to make this fast. So the Mets right now are 17th in home attendance. 17th.
Okay.
Not commensurate with where the base should be based on their season that they've given the fans, right? So it's not congruent. Like, the Mets have had a really fun, energized season, and the Met fans aren't showing up. They're 17th. It's a fact. Okay. Now, I know the school's in session. Do they have school in San Diego? They had 44,000 people there. Do they have school in Atlanta? They had 37,000 people there. Do they have school in St. Louis? They had 30,000 people there. For some reason, 35,000 people went to watch the Angels play last night. Do they have school in Chicago? 34,000 Cub fans showed up. The Brewers had 28,000. The Mets had 21,000.
And yet,
it's the biggest city in the country with a vibrant, diverse, you know, in spots, affluent. I mean, you say that about any fan base, poor, affluent, middle of the road, but Mets have a lot of people who can afford this. Where are the fans?
Maybe
21,000.
Maybe they're tired of the circus like atmosphere at Met games. I mean,
no.
Grimace first pitch, dude. Wait till if we go Friday night, it's unlike anything I've experienced before.
But the
light show and the freaking sirens and stuff.
The Yankees do that too with the Imperial, you know, when they're two strikes.
But they have Judge and Soto, so that like kind of.
That's true. Now, here's my question for you.
I don't have a good answer to it, honestly.
I don't know why.
It's the Nationals, but it is the end of the year. Look, I don't know. Maybe.
I just gave you one, two, three, four, six other examples. Smaller. Every one of them is smaller. And every market that I reference is significantly smaller.
Plus, Manaea was pitching. Like, if there's any pitcher you're going to go see, right.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So
it's your ace.
That you should have people
I'm saying,
there.
Gotcha.
I mean, okay, so my question is, And I know he's going to do it because this is what he's going to do. But, like, if Cohen is going to offer Soto $6 or $650 million or whatever it is, don't you think Met fans should show up in a pennant race?
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe it's just because of the lack of sustained success.
There's no excuses,
Met fans have been burnt. So well, there's got to be a reason.
There is none. It's just the Met fans aren't going.
No, but it's not. But it's also not because there's no passion there with the fan base. Because we know, especially that usually the down fan bases, once they start to sniff some success, they're rabid.
Yeah.
You got to
get
out there. But I'm telling you, man, my first experience. Now, I've been going to games, Met games, consistently, I'd say, since 1995.
Okay.
And there was a window, you know, 99, 2000, 2001, 2002. I was really going like 50 games a year, which is just absurd.
That's incredible.
But I was going a lot. Any off day I had from Home Depot, I was going a lot of games. At least those couple years.
Yeah.
But the first time, and you're talking about, you know, 99 postseason, 2000 postseason, 2015 postseason, like every year I'd be going to all the postseason games. The first time I ever felt that the crowd was disappointing and didn't have that rabid passion in them was the 2022 postseason. It was just a different...
I remember you saying that.
You talked about it with the Yankees.
I felt that with the Yankees against the Astros. I was there and it felt like a morgue.
It felt like... It did not feel like the postseason.
Nope.
And it's something, as somebody who can speak to going to games since 95 at least, and tasting the postseason in 99 and 2000, again, 2015, it was 2006 as well. We can't skip that year. Like, it was the place to be in the postseason because the team never makes it. So when they go, the fans are nuts. You can't get a ticket.
Yeah.
2022, it was lifeless. Now, was that because of the way the season ended? Was it because of the prices, the ballpark? I don't know what the problem was, but it was a problem.
You know, with the secondary more, I know Evan's big into this. Me, yeah. I'm not going to jump through hoops to go to a game. And, you know, I'm going to get tickets when I want to go. And if I can't afford it or I don't want to spend it, I'm not going.
Right.
You know? And I also want to say, I get free tickets often, so I understand it's different. But I'm not jumping through hoops on secondary markets to get tickets. Evan does. That's fine. I respect it. But I don't think it's an exorbitant ticket price based on so many different outlets and avenues to go and get your hands on tickets. Cheap price.
Right.
Like, it's not like the old days. Like, I remember going to the Garden with my dad a lot.
Yeah.
You know, back with early Ewing and obviously Mark Jackson, right before Pat Riley came. And then obviously into Pat Riley. Scalpers everywhere, hundreds of bucks. Back then, you know, that was different. Like, not everybody could afford that. You can't swing it. Dude, if you've got an ounce of patience and an ounce of technological savviness, you can get tickets on the cheap.
Yeah. So
including last night.
So it's not the price.
It's not the price.
Right, but if the Mets were playing the Nats Friday night, do you think we would be trying to be going? Or because more it's about the Phillies and a better opponent? Like, to me, the Nats, the Mets Nats is just, ugh.
I know what you mean, but if you, then you're not going to.
I'm just trying to come up with an excuse.
I don't think there is an excuse. I think that there's context, a little economically driven. I've given you some of the context.
Yeah.
Not an excuse. I mean,
I think maybe they just don't believe in this team. Oddly enough. How was the attendance? You're saying it's been bad all year? I usually don't
17th.
Look at these things.
17th.
All year.
Home attendance.
I thought it was really good last homestand.
17th. It was pretty good. But 17th is 17th.
For a team that's overachieved.
This team has earned more support.
Correct.
And I never tell fans what to do. But those numbers surprise me.
John has a theory on Staten Island. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, fellas. How you doing? I'm a season ticket holder.
Right,
I've been a Mets fan for almost 50 years.
Attaboy.
So, and I've probably gone to at least 70 games this year. I'll give you a couple of my reasons real quick. Number one, over the 30 years of Yankee sustained success, and it kills me, we've lost the casuals. All right. If you have a family like you guys have young kids, and a lot of families are like this, if they have discretionary money and they're going to go to a game and they're going to plan in the off season to go to games during the year, they're going to pick the Yankees.
Not if they're Met fans.
If you're casual.
Well, he's saying casual.
Okay. Yeah, I still don't know if
then,
I fully agree with that.
Hey, let's go to a game. Let's go to a game. My kids like the Yankees. Everybody loves Aaron Judge.
Yep.
Okay, they're fans.
Man, what about Pete?
They're a Yankee fan. Let's say it's 65-35 Yankee fans to Met fans in the city. Okay?
Okay.
And again, the other big reason is going into the year, the expectations were lower. Starting when they made the trades last, you started hearing the reports when Scherzer left that they were going to take a step back.
Oh, you've had You're months to adjust.
Yeah. You know what I really think it comes down to, John? Sorry for the call. I didn't mean to cut you off there, John. And good job, you know, with your loyalty and passion. And
absolutely.
Although I don't know how you're a 50-year season ticket holder and your kids like the Yankees. Like, something went wrong there. I mean, I'm saying you got to let them make their own decision, but you're a season ticket holder. You're going to 70 games.
You shove the Mets down their throat.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You're a Mets fan. You'd think you'd be bringing them to the game.
You're a Mets fan, or you're not a baseball fan. You're not going.
I really...
There's really nothing to discuss.
You know what I really believe, BT?
What?
Not only the lack of star power, which, especially without Lindor, not in the lineup, like lack of star power, but even with Lindor,
okay,
there's still the lack of star power and excitement with this team, even though they're playing well.
Uh-huh.
And I really think it's just that the fans, combined with the lack of star power and legitimacy, the fans don't believe to that level. I really do believe that that's the case. Just speaking from my own feelings and experience,
yep,
they've exceeded all expectations. They still could be a playoff team. But even with that, fans don't believe the reality that this team could be a World Series type team, and they're just not going to invest in it.
It might be it. I mean, I think that that's probably partly attributable to, you know, average to, in certain spots, you know, last night's, that's just not a good number, 21,000 pennant race. John said something interesting, and we didn't challenge him on this. I don't know if I agree. He said 65-35% Yankee-Met dynamic split. That seems a little
in
wide.
In what? In reality?
No, in terms of he's like maybe 65% Yankee fans, 35%
Mets.
Nah,
I think that's...
Even I'm going to say that's a little wide.
What do you think that is? 60-40?
60-40. 65, that's just too big of a disparity. Yeah. I don't think that that's accurate. What would you say?
I really don't know. And is it... I mean, because I don't have the pulse of the casuals. Like, in my mind, everybody is like us. Like, we're diehard fans and grew up like that, and there's no casualness to it. You're a Mets fan or you're a Yankee fan. Like, what's with the casuals? But I'd probably say 60-40. And I do think that the casuals lean, at this point, Yankees, and have for the last 30 years, whereas if you go back to 80, you know, 85, 86, whatever, late 80s, I think the casuals lean toward the Mets. They've lost those over 30 years of... You know, not futility alone from the Mets part, but the Yankees sustained success.
That does happen. Residually, you're going to feel that downstream.
Yeah.
Now, listen, the Knicks are on the way up here, and, you know, the Nets are obviously going to reset whatever. And,
right, but
you know,
that's like 95-5, no?
I agreed, but, like, let's say the Knicks, even though the Mets are having a fun season, let's say the Knicks weren't quite as good as they are, mm-hmm, and, like, maybe people aren't really, like the first year with Randall 2020, if everybody was allowed in the building without COVID, like they were at the end of the season. I think that the Nets were really good. There might be deep down 90-10% split, but I think that there'd be more more casuals going, hey,
I want to see KD,
the Nets are doing this, and I want more. If like Kenyon Martin and Jason Kidd and those guys played in Brooklyn and the Knicks were trash, I guarantee the Nets would have, they'd capture the dollar of the casual.
Yeah, the casuals can be swung very easily. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. The number to call is 888-808-1019. We've enjoyed taking your call so far. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. We'll continue with the stuff on the Giants and Dable and Belichick and really just moving forward. I look forward to getting more into the Jets, BT, whether it's tomorrow or whether it is Thursday night. You know, Jets obviously taking on New England, home opener. I'm going to be there. Can't wait. I know you and I are looking at the schedule, seeing where we get out to a Jets game together, which is going to be fun. You got the Giants playing Thursday night football the following week, so that'll be busy as well. Giants, Cowboys, hopefully in a game that they can be competitive in for a change here. All right, we're joined right now by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. All right, Baldy, BT, and Sal, pleasure to have you as well. The Giants, to me, showed improvement from week one to week two, but obviously becoming the first team in NFL history to score three touchdowns, not allow a touchdown, to lose in regulation. So that was a bad sight there. What'd you make of Brian Daboll and his Giants in week two in Washington?
Well, they were much better. I mean, it'd be good if they had a guy that could make an extra point. You know, they wouldn't be in that situation. So, I mean, that's just a cluster all by itself. But, no, they played much better. I mean, Devin Singletary ran the ball. They pushed the Commanders around pretty good up front. The group played really well. We saw some of the talent of Malik Nabers. He's a special player. He showed that on Sunday. And, you know, I don't know, the last time they fed a receiver 18 times in a game, it's a shame he dropped that last one, but he was really good. Daniel Jones played better, much better than he did week one. And so, but it's disappointing all the way around. But no question, they were much better this past weekend.
Baldy, why couldn't they get off the damn field? Like, I get the bend, don't break, but to the point of seven freaking field goals, the Giants' defense should be better than that. I'm sorry, Kayvon Thibodeau, Burns, whatever it may be. Why couldn't they get off the field against Washington?
But they couldn't stop the run. at all. I mean, you know, Brian Robinson, Jr., Jaden Daniels, I mean, they ran the ball at will. They had a lot of explosive runs in there, you know, together. That was a big part of it. And then, you know, Jaden Daniels right now, I mean, he's kind of a one-read guy. If the ball comes out, if it's not there, he's looking to scramble or to run. And so it's kind of hard to get home. I thought Burns and Thibodeau played a little bit better in some of the red zone plays where they kept him out of the end zone. But they really, you know, they really couldn't impact the game as quickly as he was getting rid of the ball or taking off with it. And so, you know, and it's a young secondary, and so they get themselves out of position quite a bit. You know, they don't have a lot of veterans back there right now, and that's a little bit of a problem for them. They had a problem covering Zach Ertz in that game, guys that could match up with him. And, you know, they hit him a number of times for first downs to extend drives. But regardless, I mean, good red zone defense, but, you know, to score as many times as they did in a row and not get off the field, I mean, nobody wants that on the resume.
Boldy, let me ask you this. Big picture here. You've seen both games, the film. You know the schedule, what awaits. If I said, all right, more likely the Giants, you know, win 8 or 9 games and make it interesting, or they pick top 5 in the draft. Right now, what would you say?
To get to 9 wins right now, I think it would be tough. They don't have a lot of depth on the team. They have a lot of youth. It would be a better coaching job this year to get to 8 or 9 wins than it did 2 years ago when they made the playoffs and won a playoff game, I believe. They don't have Saquon. You know, that was a big part of that success. I'm not knocking Singletary or anybody else there, but, I mean, he's not Saquon. And so I don't think Daniel Jones is going to run for 800 yards plus like he did 2 years ago. So I would say more likely it will be less than 8 or 9 wins. I don't know if it's going to be top 5 because I think they're going to win some games.
Okay.
Although this is pretty desperate this weekend.
Yeah, and these are two games that, you know, the spread was basically, you know, not quite a pick 'em, but right in the neighborhood. Now they're 7-point dogs. Not that you can't win, but it does get it stiffens up a bit. So the film, you know, you're a New York guy. The pressure and some of the noise around Dable is growing. Joe Shane, obviously, his job is done for the season because the draft is over. But what are you seeing on film with some of his draft picks? And I don't even mean the big, big names. But do you think that Shane has brought in a lot of talent here so far?
Well, I mean, if you're picking at the top of the draft and you're taking Evan Neal, you're taking Kayvon Thibodeau at the top, you want those guys to actually, you know, impact the game. I mean, you can't get Evan Neal on the field. Some of it is injuries. That stuff happens. But it's not like, you know, Taliese Fuaga that I'm watching in New Orleans or Graham Barton, you know, I'm watching in Tampa, and they're like dominant players right now. But, you know, I mean, look, McFadden's on the field. When he's out there, you know, he's a good player. We got to see what this rookie class looks like right now. Malik Nabers certainly looks good. But, you know, Jalin Hyatt has been invisible. He's a third-round pick last year. You know, I'm not saying he can't play or he's not going to be a part of this, but he's been invisible in the first 2 weeks. Wandale has, you know, he's had some injuries. I mean, you're looking at the guys that they drafted right now. John Michael Schmitz is in there at center. You know, we'll see how it plays out. It's a little bit early on Theo Johnson and, you know, Tyron Tracy and Drew Phillips and some of the guys are out there this year. But, you know, in 3 drafts right now, you can't say that you found the new nucleus of this team at this point.
Yeah, and to me, that's a big part of the problem, not as much on Brian Daboll. BT and Sal on the Fan talking with Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. All right, Baldy, we've got 2 teams in town. The Jets were able to get a win on Sunday. The biggest concern to me is the defense. What did you see from this defense? I mean, look, they were talking about a great defense last year. They've gotten, you know, smashed here in the first 2 games of the season. Sal says it was a quick fix. I don't know about you. I didn't watch the film. You did. Did it seem to be fixed from week 1 to week 2, the defense?
Well, it was better. You know, Tennessee can run the ball. They ran it pretty good. Will Levis, you know, makes some boneheaded decisions, you know, for the second week in a row that really bailed them out. I mean, it was looking like it was going to be 14-0 there, you know, until that, you know, silly play by Levis. You know, they got a good play from Will McDonald. But last year, you know, they basically had 3 great rushers on every single good third down. They had Bryce Huff, they had Jermaine, they had Quinnen. Well, they don't have that now. And now Jermaine's done, and, you know, Bryce Huff is in Philadelphia. They just don't have that off the edge. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with Hassan Reddick. He probably has a little more leverage right now. And you lose C.J. Mosley, you lose your captain. You lose a great player, and you've lost him for parts of two games in a row now. Without C.J. Mosley, without Jermaine Johnson, without Huff or that third rusher, it's really tough. Now, Brandon Echols stepped in for D.J. Reed. I mean, he made a great, great interception. He defended a deep pass to Ridley, in the final drive of the game, which could have changed the game. So, they had some young guys that step up, but you can't replace C.J. Mosley and Jermaine Johnson if they're not out there.
No, there's no chance. Listen, I think, Baldy, that contrary to what I think we all thought coming in, I think the Jets are going to be an offense team first. What'd you see from Rodgers? What'd you see from some of the kids? Mike Williams shed the rust. I think the Jets are going to start putting up a lot of points. What do you think?
Well, we saw Braylon Allen. You see the difference he's going to make. You could put both Braylon and Breece in the backfield right now. They scored all three touchdowns for him. You saw Breece out there against Kenneth Murray, the middle linebacker. As soon as Aaron Rodgers saw that, there wasn't anywhere else he was going on the field. And that was after Breece, had a 30-yard run, which, really popped. But, I mean, the idea was to, hopefully, play with the lead and then put the big backs out there. Put Breece and Braylon out there. Let those guys pound you a little bit. They were better up front than they were week one last week. That's a good front in Tennessee. It's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
But, Braylon Allen got, it was a great play with Breece and Braylon in the backfield in the opening touchdown where they put Breece in motion and kind of faked it to him and then set up a slow screen to Braylon Allen. And, he finished it for a 12-yard touchdown on the slow screen. I mean, it was a nice job by both those guys. And I think they could be a really, really good 1-2 punch. And I think the more they play together up front, the better they're going to get. And if you get Mike Williams going, they have enough offensively to be a very good offense.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. You want to see the tight ends get involved a little bit more snaps for Williams, et cetera, although he had a great grab down the sideline at the end, very clutch. I think that one of the things that, the average fan, including myself most times, you have a young running back, you're like, all right, is he big? Is he strong? Is he fast? But can they chip block? Can they pick up the assignments? What'd you see from Allen on film in terms of doing things that maybe the average fan doesn't see that obviously matter?
Well, the first thing is, any kid that comes out of Wisconsin, none of them catch a football. They don't throw the backs, in Wisconsin. They run the ball. And that's what all Wisconsin running backs are. And then they got to kind of show you that they can catch it. Just go down watching training camp and OTAs and stuff. Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis, both of them, can catch the football. And so that's encouraging. Now, really, Braylon hasn't had enough snaps to see if he can do what we saw Bijan do last night, really step up and chip block and protect your quarterback. We haven't seen enough reps from him yet. That remains to be seen what kind of protector he is. But I don't have any doubts with him in the passing game right now. He showed me in practice. He showed me last week. He could be a dependable receiver the way we know that Breece Hall already is.
Nice.
Baldy, how's Rodgers specifically? I know he's the oldest player in the league. To me, the decision-making is just as sharp as anything, and I know it's in comparison to the crap that we've seen with New York football in the last decade, but Rodgers just elite at that. What are you seeing from Aaron Rodgers at this point, two games back off of the injury last year?
Well, all that. I mean, the mental aspect and mental acuity of the game is as sharp as ever. The dart that he threw last week to Mike Williams or the week before to Alan Lazard. Not many guys can just throw that line drive, and put it right on the spot. It's like T-ball for a six-year-old where he's putting that ball. The one thing that you can say that when he does look 40 is when he's got to move, whether it's a bootleg, whether he's got to elude the rush. I don't know. I mean, maybe the Achilles is going to feel better as time goes on. I'm sure, it still feels a little sticky. Basically a new joint. You got to get used to it. Probably doesn't have the same flexibility and escapability that he once had, but he's got to live with that. He's got to live with that and rely on the arm. And so, that might get him in trouble a little bit. He might, not throw five interceptions all season long the way he has in the past because he was so elusive and he was so good on the run. We might not get that Aaron Rodgers, but the Aaron Rodgers just surveying the defense, finding the weakness, finding the matchup that he's looking for, that part of the game, I don't think has slowed down or hasn't lost anything from that aspect.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, he just flicks the ball. It's beautiful. You talk about, final thing I have for you, Baldy, like former Jet quarterbacks, and we, a little lazy and it's inaccurate, like we lump in like Darnold and Wilson. Sam Darnold was better than Zach, period. He was better as a rookie. Yeah. He played better football. The tape was better. He is off to a good start, man. So, you know, without going nuts here and overreacting, is this the year that Darnold maybe doesn't live up to his third overall status, but cements himself, you know, back end of the top 10 or top 12 in the NFL?
I mean, I think you could be Baker Mayfield.
Wow.
I mean, they both kind of went through the same thing, you know, injuries and changing teams. And I think he learned a lot in San Francisco last year, ironically, just carved up the 49ers 97-yard touchdown throw to Justin Jefferson, you know, just a stick right into the carotid artery of the 49ers and the throw to Jalen Naylor for a touchdown. I mean, he played really, really well. But I think he got around a good organization in San Francisco. He saw what stability was all about. He saw what good coaching is all about. He's getting that from Kevin O'Connell. He's getting that from a defense led by Brian Flores. He's got a lot of parts there in Minnesota to kind of do a rebound the way we saw Baker do it and the way Baker's continuing to do it in Tampa right now.
You know, Baldy, I know I'm old school. I hated that decision last night from Sirianni throwing the football there. What'd you think?
Me too.
I mean, what are you doing? What a doofus! Why risk throwing that damn football when only bad can come of it? I know it should be caught 99 out of 100 times. How can you throw the football in that spot?
Look, the enemy for Atlanta is the clock, period. Like, if they run the ball, regardless of what happens on the run, they could just, if they took a knee and they took 40 seconds off the clock, Kirk Cousins starts that drive at the 30 with 55 seconds to go. Now, the first throw on the drive is a stick route to Kyle Pitts. Like, it's in the middle of the field. The clock is running. The second throw was to Darnell Mooney in the honeycomb hole, and he didn't get out of bounds. And so, like, you can't run the same drive that he ran if you only have 55 seconds. It's got to change. And I just think I just think there's a place for just what you call old school football. Hardball's 2-0 in Los Angeles by punting, kicking field goals, playing field position. I just think the hell with the analytics. Just win the football game right there.
Well, catch the ball. You would have.
Well, yeah, but all they have to do is run.
Like, look, I mean, Saquon feels terrible. I mean, he's a great receiver. We know it. And he feels terrible today. But still, when I'm talking to the TV watching it last night, I'm going, you got to run it here. I mean, that's what the analyst is doing. All the situations. What's the best situation? In real time, in the best situation to me last night was to run Saquon. And who knows? With that offense line, maybe he runs for the first down. But at the very least, you're taking a minimum of 40 seconds off the
clock. Yeah, and even if he doesn't get the first down, then you just do the tush push and you get the first down and you go for it on fourth down. I just, makes no sense. You know what I think it is, Baldy, overall, and we do appreciate your time. It's a lack of discipline by coaches in today's NFL. They can't settle for three. They've got to go for the touchdown. You can't settle for just running the clock down as much as you possibly can and either kicking the field goal or turning the ball over and letting them drive the entire field. Can't settle for that. They got to go for the kill now where it was too much. A stupid play to me. Just stupid.
Look, you can call it lack of discipline. I just think like they basically cover themselves by saying, well, this is what the analytics say. ESPN's putting it up there. Oh, you got to go for it. You know, Joe Buck, you got to go for it. It's a dark green. I mean, sometimes, like, that's their out. Their out is, well, the analytics say go for it. Throw it. You know, but, like, no. The analytics, hell with the analytics. Go play, make good, smart football decisions to win the game. And I'm not playing Tuesday morning quarterback with Nick Sirianni. But I'm in real time, I'm saying you have to run it here. The clock is the enemy of the Falcons. They just make it difficult as possible for Kirk Cousins to go 70 yards with a touchdown.
Baldy, yes or no? Just a yes or no. Yes or no. Jets win?
Yes. Thursday night, New England home opener? Absolutely.
Yes or no. Giants win?
Cleveland. Ooh. They're going to see the best defense they've seen so far.
Uh-oh.
The offense has to step up.
Sounds like a no, but we'll let others translate.
Thank you, Baldy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. You bet, man. Nice, take care.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious.
Yeah, I mean, throw Boldy in the booth and just get rid of that clown Kelsey. Put him in there.
You think Boldy's got the moves that Kelsey has, though?
I think he's maybe a little stronger.
Yeah.
Right?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.